Welcome to 167 Hours Beyond Sunday, a companion podcast to the sermons of Crossroads Christian Church in Gray, Tennessee, where we try to go beyond the message and talk about what life looks like in the 167 hours we're not in church a week. I'm your host, my name is Ryan Evans, and today I'm joined by our facilities manager here at Crossroads, Jay Shannon. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing awesome. How are you, brother?
I'm doing well. First podcast, I think you were saying?
First podcast ever.
I mean, is this like a fun notion for you to do?
Oh, for sure. I love it. The setup's a little strange, but I think we're going to get through it. We're going to have fun doing it.
Yeah, I reached out to Jay pretty early on with this because I was like, man, I think he'd be a fun person to have. And just working alongside of you, I've enjoyed almost every conversation we've had, ranging from very stupid things to really important things.
We can get together on a lot of different subjects, and we have fun doing it. And that's what I'm about, is getting the job done, making it fun, doing it right.
Yeah. So you got hired here, I think it was a little over half a year ago. I could be wrong on my timeline. Things have been a bit blurry. So can you give everyone kind of an idea of what you do here at Crossroads?
I guess my job title, like you said, is the facilities manager, and I do whatever needs to be done, from fixing toilets to painting walls to doing trim to spider webs to new projects. You know, we had the church painted, so I contracted those with the help of the facility team, and we got that knocked out. So basically the go-to man. If you need something lifted, carried, moved around, I'm not above it or beneath it. We're going to get it done.
Yeah, you're the guy I call when I'm like, okay, I need to do this random thing, but I'm not sure how. Like, I need to mount this TV. I'm going to call Jay. Or, hey, I want to hang this little thing on this rack, but I don't have anything to hang it on. Do you? Or, you know, like the most fun version of this is recently when we were doing our student fall retreat, I had this vision in my head to build a giant slingshot, which I'd kind of already made, but we needed to make a huge target. So you and I drove down to the camp one day and made that happen.
Yeah, you had the bones together good. You had the slingshot was together, but being involved in that, I mean, that's just fun stuff. That's the aspect of my job that I really enjoy doing. You know, it was centered around the kids. We wanted to make it fun. We wanted to make it happy. So it's not really a job when you enjoy it, and I've heard that my whole life. But coming on here at Crossroads, I'm beginning to experience that and taste that. And the slingshot was a perfect example of doing something for work that's not work, and it was a blast.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I tell people. I'm like, well, I don't get paid to do this.
Right.
There are things I get paid to do. Trust me, whenever I have to have hard conversations or deal with people being dumb or, you know, go to the hospital because of a sad, you know, like whatever. But man, you're right. I wasn't working that day either. We were setting up a giant slingshot,
and that thing was legit. It was fun.
Yeah,
it was safe. It was safe for the kids, and the target was big enough that we could hit it, or you guys could hit it. And I'm glad it turned out well.
Yeah, we did draw a line in the grass that said, "Do not go past this
danger zone,"
because we were shooting pears, and that's like asking for a concussion. So no boy, no.
Yes.
So when I was making the guest lineup for this podcast, because we really do have to schedule it out about a couple months at a time to get everyone on here, when I saw that service was one of the topics, I immediately messaged you. Like, right. I asked you, come on. And I did that not because you work here as a facilities manager, like that's a lame reason to bring you on, but because I have worked alongside of you enough already to really appreciate mostly your attitude with service. I mean, you're one of the most helpful people I've worked with, and I've never heard you complain. And I really do think that is a spiritual gift certain people have. Like Lisa Hall has this gift. I really love working
Mama
with her.
Mama Lisa, she does. Yeah.
So I'm curious, like, where does that come from? Is that like your family? Is it natural? Like, can you pinpoint, I learned this from these people?
Well, I've always been perfect, so I'm just kidding. No, and I do appreciate the compliment there. You know, if I had to give you an answer to that one, I would say my family has a huge part in it. My dad growing up, I'm the youngest of five, and he has always taught us to serve. And in Curtis's message, he talked about the Chick-fil-A CEO and how you always leave things better than when you found it. Mm-hmm. That was the atmosphere that I grew up in. I remember being at restaurants and we're finished eating, and then they're stacking the plates together, the silverware together, to make it easier on the busboy. And I remember asking Dad questions like, why do you do that? That's not necessary. That's their job. And Dad said, leave it better than when you found it, son. Mm-hmm. Restrooms, restaurants, anything. So I give my family, my mom, my dad, a lot of credit in raising me in the right environment to set me up for success. And I think I've always had that, but it took some honing. And I do complain, but I do it strategically a little bit, because complaining brings nothing positive to the table. It tears everybody down, and if you're serving, complaining is the opposite of that. We want to be positive, and you want to serve with a good attitude, or you know, it's really done in vain.
Yeah, well, and I think so often, you know, we'll get in those moments when someone's just griping, and I'll tell people, I'm like, man, you know, if you spent half the amount of time you did complaining about this, just doing it, we'd be done. but you know, there's something you said there that I really want to hone in on, because I think it's important for parents that are listening to this podcast, that your parents instilled something in you in a very young age that is a very positive thing that you get to carry out as an adult. So like as a dad now, you know, Camden, your son,
oh, for sure.
Is that something you intentionally do? Like if you have to go do something or work something, just bring him along occasionally?
Yeah, he comes along on a lot of the things that Brooklyn and I do, my wife Brooklyn, and I'm trying to instill that in him so that when he is grown, or you know, in middle school or high school, he has that foundation, mm-hmm. That he can stand on. And it's going to stand out in this day and time, because I feel that not a lot of families are teaching their kids that.
Yeah, and you know, there's no substitute for the parent's role in being an example and discipleship. You know, you can't send your kid off to learn important things like that.
Right,
from
and
else.
I can tell him all day long to do something, but when he sees Dad doing it, just like I saw my father doing it, it makes you want to do it that much more. You know, an example of my father, seems like he was always giving a car away to somebody, you know, one of our mm-hmm. family cars that was in good condition. It wasn't the best, but we were going to get a different one. And he saw the need of somebody, and he would just give the car to him. And that blew my mind as a youngster, because I knew the value of money. I knew that that wasn't a cheap thing to do.
That blows my mind as an oldster. I don't
know. Right.
The opposite of youngster is, but mediumster.
But every time he was like, you know, I feel the Lord leading me to do this. This family needs a car to get from A to B so that they can go and they can have a job and they can provide for their family. So mm-hmm. he saw the need. The Lord laid it on his heart. And it was just many instances like that that I've grew up in.
Yeah, it's important. I, you know, whenever I think back to my time with like my parents, like they were constantly bringing us along. So, you know, we didn't like it as kids. I'll say that I was not naturally someone who's like, I want to go do that. But it was through those experiences that you really do see the value. And you know what? Just like I thought we would, we were on the first question and we've already talked about a third of the pie, which is totally fine. Hey, so let's talk about the sermon from Sunday a bit. Curtis shared a statistic Sunday. He said, church growth consultant Wynn Arn interviewed thousands of Christians in America several years ago and asked them this question: why do you think the church exists? And 88% at that time, and I'm curious like what year this happened, but he said several years ago, he said 88% said the church exists to serve my needs and the needs of my family. In other words, 88% of Christians in America are still wearing bibs. Now, I mean, for those of you who weren't here, you know, at church Sunday, Curtis talked about how, you know, a lot of us wear bibs when we should be wearing aprons. You know, bibs are for people who are getting fed. Aprons are for people who are ready to serve. So Jay, why do you think we as Christians have become so, let's say, consumeristic in our approach to church?
I mean, I think that's a good word, and it falls in with our lifestyle. Everything that we have is so consumeristic. Everything's at your fingertips, you know, with your mm-hmm. with your smartphones or the computer. And if you need something, you order it. It's here the next day on your doorstop. Yep. Boom, boom, boom. Instant gratification. And I think that a lot of new Christians bring that aspect into the church,
mm-hmm.
and they expect the church just to set it all out here for them, and feed them. And that is good to an example, but there's a point in time when the bib has to come off,
mm-hmm.
and you have to move over and start feeding yourself.
Yeah, you said this before we got on, but it has startled me a little bit. 88% is a large number.
That's a staggering number.
Like, we're saying almost only 10%, a tenth of Christians understand that the church isn't all about them.
Right, which speaks in my mind, and we've got a lot of young Christians that have not been taught how to break the bonds of that bib. And if we don't do that, then our children are raised in that society too, that mindset. And mm-hmm.
So you keep using the phrase young Christians. I'm curious. So do you, when you see like older people in the church, do you feel like they kind of have moved away from that a little bit better, or?
I think they've been through the strokes and they've beat their head against the wall, so to speak, and they've learned from mm-hmm. what not to do and what to do. And I do think a lot of the older Christians that have been Christians for years upon years, and such as my dad, and they've learned that over the time, that the church is not specifically set up for a consumeristic lifestyle. That's a misconception in my mind. It's not instant gratification.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting to think about, because I'm sitting back and now I'm considering it. And you know, I think a lot of people, maybe in the Gen X generation, have some consumeristic mind. I know for sure millennials do. Like we have that problem too. I'm trying to think of like the oldest generations, or like and I think they do example that pretty well. But you know, I think it's been a shifting thing that's happening in our culture, especially in America, over time. Over time, we have gotten more, less and less patient, and it's been more and more about us and our experience. We can pay to have things catered specifically to our needs and our desires and our wants. So it makes sense that, like, over time, it would probably get worse to a certain degree.
Oh, for sure, for sure. You know, I've got a 6-year-old son, Camden, and mm-hmm. if he constantly came to me, and with his demands of, I want this, Dad, I need you to do this, I need you to do this, much mm-hmm. like a young Christian and myself, God, I need you to do this, I need it right now, I need it right now. You know, I would look at my son and I would say, okay, son, and I would help him out, but I want him to eventually pick the reins up and start investing the time and learning how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And as Christians, I need to invest the time in my Bible reading, in my prayer, in my serving, and everything that is involved in the Christian lifestyle, just not coming to church and expecting to be fed and then leave and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, so this is, I'm getting off the rails here, but this is just me like making an observation. As someone who has been a part of a planning of a few larger service-oriented type events. So this is what's crazy. So we did this at my old church, and we've done Serve the Date here.
Right.
And every time we've done a large service event in a church like that, then some of the first feedback I get from people is, that was great. When are you going to plan another one for us to do?
Because they want to be involved in it.
Yeah, which is great. But let me throw out my response to them is always like, well, please don't wait on us to serve.
Right.
Like, we aren't, you can do this. You don't need us to create the product for you.
Exactly.
Like, you can do this on your own.
Right. But, which brings up another point, consuming is the easy part. Mm-hmm. It's easy to sit back and let you provide the outlet, the plan, and then they come and get involved. So consuming is the easy part. It is the
taking ownership of it.
It's the ownership of it, and it's the serving that's the hard part.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think it's important to be servant-minded if we're trying to make following Jesus a way of life? And if for some reason you're new to Crossroads, or maybe you're listening to this podcast and you actually don't go to our church, which you're more than welcome to be here, making following Jesus as a way of life is our church mission. We believe that, you know, we say that that's the first line, and then it's with Jesus in community on mission. So there's some specificness to my language here. So why do you think it's important to be servant-minded if we're going to make following Jesus a way of life?
I guess that goes back to who are you following? You know, being a Christian is being a follower of Christ, and he didn't have to come off his throne and sit mm-hmm. and take a human form and serve us for the time that he was down here. But he did. He was laying the pathwork, the paving the road for us to see how to live life. So if I'm trying to be like Jesus, and that's all that Jesus did was serve, then I need to strive to serve to be more like Jesus, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're looking at his example, it's actually kind of scary. You know, like if you're really trying to imitate Jesus, you look at him like, oh, he was constantly moving around, constantly finding new people, constantly serving, constantly staying out of what I would consider my comfort zone,
right,
you know, like,
and
this is going to be a weird thing for me to suggest, but I think often our home churches can almost become a comfort zone for a lot of us. Like we create these safe bases with people we know and these experiences that we're used to.
Right.
And we keep revisiting that well instead of serving or going out and interacting with others.
And that very well might be why he kept constantly moving around, because the same people, the same places, the same things. He wanted new experiences. And, you know, as I kind of picture the church in my mind, it's not a social gathering. Or at least it's,
well, it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be a social gathering where you meet a couple hours on Sunday and you say hi and you catch up about the week and that you go on. So
yeah, the worst version of a church is like a country club.
Right. Right. With no golf course or anything like that.
So Curtis asked another question of everyone's Sunday. You know what? I keep saying that. Here's the thing. I actually wasn't here Sunday. This is the first time I've recorded one of these podcasts where, so fun fact, everyone, I got these questions from Curtis's script. He sent me his script. So if I get something wrong, it's because he changed his mind Saturday. All right. Which is very, very possible. but he said this, he says, nouns need verbs. Nouns need action to fulfill their purpose, specifically the noun Christian and the noun church. And he said, if you divorce them from action, then you divorce them from their purpose. You divorce them from their weight, their significance, and their beauty. So Curtis asked everyone this Sunday, and I want to ask you specifically, Jay, if I were to ask you what verb comes to mind when you think about these two nouns, Christian and church, what verb would it be?
Right off the top of my head, I would say that the verb, which is an action that goes with Christian, would be serve. Serve your church, serve your community, and that's what we try to do here at Crossroads is serve the community, serve your family. But there's got to be action in going out and not remaining complacent in what you've got going on. Look for places to help out. Look for something to get into. So I would pick serve for Christian.
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever I heard this or read this question, the first thing that came to my mind is like, I wonder what most of the world would answer this if they were being honest about Christians and who they were.
Right.
And I almost don't want to know the answer because
I don't think I want to hear it. But I mean,
probably wouldn't be uber positive because unfortunately Christians have over time not always made a great first step forward with a lot of people. But we won't go down that path.
So the church, the verb that I picked to go with church, I just wrote down in my notes points to Jesus. Because it's an action. So,
yeah, I think, I mean, if like those are definitely two very ideal words about, like, and I think when at the church is at its best, it's serving, or Christians are serving, and we are pointing to Jesus. If we're pointing to anything else, then we're missing the mark. Because if making following Jesus as a way of life is our church mission, then hopefully we're at least pointing people towards Jesus so they can follow him.
And we want to do it, you know, like we were talking earlier, with a good attitude, because who wants to follow Jesus with a church that is not having fun, not being happy, not being constructive? So, you know, we've got that responsibility too, to represent this and point to Jesus with a good attitude and a good heart, you know.
I think that leads me to my next question pretty well. And this is probably more of a critical question. You know, and I think we can do this as Christians. We can be critical of ourselves so we can grow. But do you think we as Christians sometimes prioritize the wrong things over simple stuff like service and loving people?
I think so. I can't speak for everybody, but I know that I do prioritize my stuff inaccurately, wrongly sometimes, because the simple things, like you said, the loving people and the service are sometimes the hardest things to do because it requires our time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I was just super wealthy and somebody needed something, it wouldn't be that big of a deal for me to hand them a $20 bill or a $100 bill. That's not really a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody needs help, you know, changing out a hot water heater or a, you know, something physical that's going to take some time, then there's a decision-making process in my head that I go through. And sometimes I know that that's what I'm supposed to be doing if my initial reaction is, oh, man, I don't want to do that.
So that's funny. That's funny. I mean, that's an interesting gut check moment, though.
It is. It is. But it's real because, you know, I've got my day planned out. I'm going to go here and do this, spend time with the family, and somebody needs something. I'm like, oh, man, that just interrupted what I wanted to do.
Yeah. I mean, and if you're Christianity is all about being a consumer.
Exactly.
Right. Which I think is a tendency. I think we all have to be aware that that is probably our most natural reaction.
Right.
As Americans.
Right.
Because we have been trained mentally to be consumers of everything.
Oh, for sure.
But and yeah, I was talking to Lee Hilton one time in my office, and we were, you know, doing that thing where we fix the world, you know, if everyone would just do the things that we thought they should do. because, you know, an indulgence of arrogance for a moment for both of us.
Right.
But then we started talking about, like, if Jesus was in the room for a lot of the arguments we have as the church, like, what would he, you know, when we're bickering over things like which music we should be playing or what color the carpet should be, or, you know, like, you know, does this go here? Can we put this part of the service in a different place? You know, and the things that we spend hours and days and people's, you know, gripe about.
Does it really matter type deal?
Oh yeah, I think Jesus would probably smack us down. that would be a gut check conversation where he'd be like, okay, that's great that you care about this, but you know, what about all the people in your community that are still hungry?
Right, right. There's probably some other things that are more important than the, you know, the color of the carpet, but you know, in the prioritizing, something that came to my mind when we're talking about prioritizing the wrong thing over the simple things,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, in the Gospels, there's, you know, less of me. John the Baptist said it, less of me, more in him.
Mm-hmm.
I must decrease so that he would increase.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I try to wrap my mind around that and think, and it really lets me know where I stand. When I picture it feeding dogs, you know, you've got my fleshy side that I like to feed, you know, with the worldly things and everything over here. Then you've got the spiritual man over here. And the more that I feed the spiritual man, the stronger that I get, the more that I like to serve, the more that I like to read the word, the more that I like to do church and be church. So it's just a prioritizing, who am I going to feed today?
Yeah,
and I want to do the right thing, but I'm not perfect, and I fail. But it's realizing that, and then making better decisions next time of what spiritual animal are you gonna feed?
Yeah, and I like that, you know, less of me, more of him, you know. And I think a lot of that maybe is a good self reflection thing for if you're someone who's listening to this and you have things in church that you're like constantly frustrated about. It's a great question to ask yourself. Is this something I'm frustrated about because it's for the good of the church and good of our community? Or is this something I'm frustrated about because it's not meeting what I want as a consumer?
Right, right. Is it a consumer issue?
That's a
good question. That's a good point.
I mean, it makes me think about, one of my first weeks at Pinedale Christian Church in Winston, we were doing something on a Wednesday night with students, and some kids were playing around and running up and down the halls. And someone came up to me and said, I think it is a shame that there are kids running up and down the halls of the church. And I said, oh, you're complaining to the wrong person about this because I love it.
Right.
And they were like, what? I said, I love it. I love that kids want to be at church. What is more valuable than kids wanting to be at church? I was like, I think that is the best thing. And they just looked at me like I was, you know, screwed up in the head, which, you know, I am. Not on that issue. Other issues,
right,
certainly.
But right. But if you want kids to be happy and running and playing, would you not rather them be at the house of God than anywhere else?
I know. And it's because that person their consumer experience is ruined. They liked their quiet and their comfort, and they didn't want the kids ruining it. It's a gut check thing for a lot of us. So we got a few more minutes here, and I think this is a fun kind of way to end this podcast. How about this? Can you tell me a story of a time when the church loved you or your family in a way that made a difference in your life?
There's so many examples that I could go through. Brooklyn, she just had surgery, a pretty heavy surgery, and the church staff came together and made food and sent cards and called. And I mean, there's so many examples that you can do, but to answer your question, I'm going to take you back about 15 years.
Okay.
And to a point in my life where I was consuming everything. I was consuming everything that the world had to offer, because in my mind, I knew that there was something more than just this mundane life. You just go to work, you just go to church, you're done. You know, it was very bland to me. It was very boring. So I sought out wrong directions. You know, I was living a sinner's lifestyle to the fullest, just to be blunt with you.
Yeah.
Drugs, alcohol, anything and everything I could get into. So I got to a point in my life where I was broken. I knew what I was doing was wrong, but I just couldn't see that church being the answer, because I've been to church and it just didn't hit me.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to, I walked into this place and the head pastor came over to me and to put you in the mindset of what I'm going through. I've just been through a long drug-induced haze. I was depressed. I was broke, homeless. Didn't have a whole lot going for me. And I walk in, and the head pastor didn't know me, didn't know my name, but he could look at me, and he could see what kind of shape I was in. And he put his arm around me, and he hugged me, and he said, "I love you." And I looked at him like, "What?"
Yeah.
And he says, "And so does Jesus." And Jesus took me in at that time. And I learned what it was like to be a Christian from the ground up. I put my bib on and I consumed, because I didn't know how to do it myself.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to read the Word of God. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to serve with a kind heart. But I slowly but surely learned. And this church, they took me in, and years down the road, I took the bib off, and I'm like, "All right, let's do this."
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this attitude that you see me out here picking up cigarette butts, you know what I'm saying? I'm not complaining in the church parking lot. I'm doing it because it's for the glory of God. It's for the good of God.
Well, and I think so first off, thank you so much for sharing that story. I know that's some people would be very scared to be that vulnerable and honest about. Which, granted, we're all flawed and failed. It's just some of us are brave enough to admit it, and others are hiding it and pretending. But what's counterintuitive about what your story there is that you were consuming everything you could to be filled or fulfilled, and it wasn't until you stopped consuming and started serving
exactly
that you were filled.
Because the person that does the serving is actually one that reaps more benefits than the person receiving the serving. So if I go replace a hot water heater, yeah, you get a hot water heater, but I get eternal rewards that stick with me and make me a better person and make me happy, because I know that your needs are met.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it was like a light switch that went off in my head, that when I quit consuming everything and decided to spread with the talents that God has given me. I mean, I'm not great at one thing, but I can get it done. Or if I can't get it done, I'm going to find the person that can get it done. And when I started living by that lifestyle, man, it broke open for me. And it was amazing.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm certainly thankful that you've made those decisions, because my experience with you has granted me a new friend and a new colleague someone that I get to learn and grow with, which has been really beneficial for me. And I really am thankful for you joining me today and sharing a bit of your story and your perspective on service. I feel like we could probably talk for another 30 minutes, but we've gone long enough here. So thank you, Jay, for the conversation today. And thank you, everyone, for joining us this week. If you're on iTunes and don't mind, please give us a 5-star rating and maybe a review. If you want to keep up with all of Crossroads activities and find more content, We have a website, crossroadsgray.org. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. You can find us by searching Crossroads Christian. It's all kinds of content for adults, kids, teenagers. Especially right now with COVID stuff going on, we've created specialized content for them to consume and interact with, and hopefully act upon, you know, take that bib off and put the apron on, as Jay was saying, and as Curtis taught us this last Sunday. But more than all that, thank you all for joining us this week, and please make the most of the rest of your 167 hours. See you next week.